Others that are sick, pray for them. Lord, be with them. Well, I preached on this. I preached this message, not the message I'm going to preach tonight, but I used this text several months ago, maybe last year, about presumption. And I won't preach again tonight on that because I believe probably all of us in this room have a tendency to forget that we're here by the grace of God and every day is by the grace of God. So in James chapter 4 and verse number 13, James chapter 4 and verse number 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Isn't that interesting? We're making yearly plans and God said, you ain't got a clue what's going on tomorrow. For, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What an amazing portion of Scripture for all of us that I would think that probably the most of us are guilty of not practicing daily. Most of us, if raise of hand would show, would say we have plans for tomorrow. I just told you my plans. My plans are to get up early in the morning and then drive to Illinois, go to the doctor, maybe go to my mom's house first, go on to the doctor. If I don't get up that early, go straight to the doctor, meet them there, probably take my mom home, maybe stop for lunch. Maybe she'll be gracious enough to cook me something. And if not, we'll have to stop and get something and then go to her house and either eat, fellowship, and then sometime head home. And when I get home, I've got some plans to do and there at the house. And then Tuesday, I've got some plans already made up in my mind what I'm going to do. And Wednesday, I have some plans. And Thursday, I have some plans. And Friday, I have some plans. And Saturday, I have some plans. And because I'm just sure without a doubt, I'm in control of everything that goes on. Just that's the way we make our plans. Amen. The Old Testament verse, commentary on this verse is found in Proverbs. You won't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what a day may bring forth. I may go to bed tonight and never see the light of day. And all of those great plans that I've had will just fall by the wayside. Same way with you. You can turn to the book of Luke chapter 12. I'll read a commentary on the verse that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 12. It won't be a new one, but a very familiar one to us. Jesus gives us a good commentary on the verse in Luke 12. When a man had approached Jesus and told him, he said, hey, have my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus soon and quickly discovered this man's covetousness in his heart. And he began to speak a parable in verse 16 of chapter 12 about covetousness, but it gives this principle so clearly. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul? He's talking to himself. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Didn't say days, he said years. I've got this retirement thing lined out. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now everybody in this room has made some plans. God is not in the book of James condemning planning. He is not condemning planning. But he is condemning planning without respect to him. Lehman Strauss said this, "A common sin is dealt with here. It is that of practical atheism, planning without taking God into account." And many times Christians are just as guilty. Now some of you were raised in a generation where you heard older folks than you at that time say, "Lord willing." But we don't hear that anymore. It's not if the Lord's willing, it's this is what I am going to do. James is not speaking of planning, for he says in Romans 12 in verse 11, not slothful in business. So he's not talking about the regard of planning and not to plan and have good strategy in all of your life. But he is talking about making the plans of your life without regard to God. As I said, we're talking about a year down the road. We're talking about a year down the road. I'm going to go to such a city and I'm going to buy and sell and get money and get gain and all of this, that, and the other. I mean, you talk about a proud man. This guy's a proud man. No, sir, preacher, he's just self-confident. You can call it what you want. What if all of a sudden there's a downplay in all of his business and he don't make a gain? I remember reading of Naomi who went out full and returned empty. Well, that was just one of those freak accidents. Oh, there's a lot of people that lose money instead of making money. And so he has no regard for God. So the Lord says this in the book of Proverbs about the slothful man. He says, "The man will not plow by reason of the cold, but he begs in harvest." Here's the man who in the springtime says, "Well, it's too cold to go out there and plow." And so come harvest time, he doesn't have a harvest. He's not talking about planning here. He's not condemning planning. But he is condemning the thought of pursuing life without the regard of God and for the things of this life instead of for the things of God. If you would, take your Bibles there again to Matthew chapter number 6, the great Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus again deals with this subject for the Christian. And I think in James he's dealing with it with a Christian and not just a lost man. In James chapter 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will despise the one and hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now listen. "Therefore, because all of this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" God said, which one of you by taking thought can change your height? You can't do it. I said you can't do it just by thinking about it. "And why takest thou thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore." Boy, it's interesting these therefores. Amen. "Therefore, because you can't change anything. Therefore, take no thought for saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, again, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now the Lord is trying to teach us a great lesson here tonight about the haughty man and about the humble man. And I fear that the majority of us fall in the haughty man category because of the way we approach our days. As I said, the Bible said. As I said, the Bible talks about this man speaking about years, even in the parable that Jesus spoke. He said, "I have much store laid up for many years." But in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter 90, the Bible says, "Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days." You know, ladies and gentlemen, our days are important. We only have today. Yesterday has been recorded in the history of the world and will never be changed or altered. The future tomorrow is never guaranteed. I don't know that we'll live tomorrow. We assume we will, but we don't know that we will. So all we have is today. Just today. And that's all really that I need to worry about is just today. Take life one day at a time because one day is all you have. And by the way, tomorrow may have much more evil in it and badness in it than I even want to think about. I could be driving along tomorrow and may be in a horrible accident. May not kill me, but it may mangle me up. Well, I don't want to know if that's coming. Amen? I don't want to know if something tragic's going to happen. I mean, my goodness, that'd worry me to death. Wouldn't it you? It'd almost make me not want to go see my mom. In fact, I wouldn't. If I found out you're going to have a wreck at such and such a place, I think I'd just go a different route. Wouldn't you? Well, it's good that we don't know the trouble that we're going to have. I mean, it's good that we don't know. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we have the haughty man and the humble man. I like Warren Wiersbe, his commentary. He talks about four things about this man and his haughtiness. He talks about the complexity of life. He said, when we think of life, we think of buying and selling. We think of today and tomorrow. We think of going and returning, gaining and losing. I mean, have you ever really thought about how complex life is and all the decisions? Do we stay here? Do we go here? Do we do this? Do we do that? Should I invest here? Should I invest there? Should I go here? Should I do this? I mean, we really don't know what is the best way. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a clear direction on how to be successful all the way to the end? I mean, to make good money, have a good house, a good family, all these things, and all you had to do was follow this wonderful plan. You go down to the local bookstore and they'll sell you all kind of books on how to have all that, and none of them are a guarantee. They are good suggestions, but they are not a guarantee. Well, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'm going to get into this business. Well, that business is a wonderful business as long as other people are buying your products. If people quit buying, then it has a tendency to cause the business to go on the downside. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a world that's filled with complexity of life. Do we do this? Do we not do this? You know, everything is governed by the stock market and by the Dow Jones and stock market there and by the S&P and all those other things. And today we think that we are in control of our destiny. We are in control of our money. Did you know that it just in a matter of moments, that $100 bill that you carry or $20 bill could be worth absolutely zero? You're not in control of that. Tomorrow morning you may wake up out of the bed, get up, and just in a moment have a stroke. You're not in control of your health. We can take all the precautions to eat right and do right, but the end result is we're all going to die. I'm just saying the complexity of life. Well, preacher, I'm really planning. I'm really planning to go here, to go there. Well, what if you wake up tomorrow and nothing works out for you to do that? See, there's too many decisions. We don't know. We are not in control. The complexity of life, Warren Wiersbe says. The second thing he does is the uncertainty of life. These people were making plans ahead a year and didn't even know about the next day. We're going to go and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And we're sure going to get gain. Not going to buy and sell just to break even. We're not going to buy high and sell low. We're going to go and get gain. And boy, things are going to look good for us. I'm telling you, the future's bright. What if you don't make it till tomorrow? I say, what if you don't make it tomorrow? In Dallas, Texas, many years ago, probably the most popular president of the day had a bright future until a bullet took his life. And John Kennedy was dead and over with. Yeah. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, everybody in this room is assuming that we've got it all mapped out till we get old. I doubt a year ago if you told Lynn Blaze that, Lynn, a year from now you're going to be laying in a nursing home facility, care facility, whatever you want to call it, with just weeks, maybe days to live, she had looked at you and said, no. Nope, not me. None of us think that. I told at Bud Reeves' funeral, I said, now all of us know we're going to die. We just don't think it's going to be today or tomorrow. Yeah, it's far down the road, but we don't know. The Bible says this, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You have an appointment with death, and the mystery of it is you don't know when it is. The complexity of life, the uncertainty of life, the brevity of life. We count these years, but God counts days. The Bible says this, what is your life? It is like a vapor. It's like in the morning when we wake up and those clouds have descended to the earth and that mist of those clouds come around us and we can't see very good. And all of a sudden the sun comes out and that quick they're gone. I don't even see them disappear most of the time. They're just gone. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, for all the flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Just that quickly. That quickly. Boy, I tell you what, this spring, had them little dandelions, a few of them come up in my yard, and I thought, you know, I'm going to hurry up and dig them up so that none of their cousins come up. They must have took great offense to that. So I dug them up and throwed them in the somewhere. And then I saw others come up. But you know, they don't last but a day. And out of that little yellow flower that's so pretty at the beginning comes that long stem that sows many other of them little flowers. Gone. Your life will come and go that quick. Some of you that are older than I am can say, you know what, Brother Tim, it just wasn't but a few days ago I was a young man, a young lady. Now I'm looking towards the end of life more than the beginning of life. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it don't matter if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80. It doesn't matter which stage you're at. Life is coming to an end. We're born dying. And where you go in eternity will matter more than anything else. I was reading a commentary about a young boy, or reading a message, and Truett was telling about a young boy of years ago that was in a preaching meeting. The preacher was preaching, talking about God's Holy Spirit dealing with him, and today's the day of salvation. And he says, the day when you get saved is when Jesus Christ deals with your heart. And he was in a service like we are tonight, and he pleaded with people to give their heart to Jesus. And up from somewhere in the auditorium came a young boy, a young man, not a young boy, but a young man, and surrendered his heart and said, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And the young boy got saved. And the next morning he went back to work at the sawmill camp up on the mountain, singing and rejoicing in his heart. Everybody took note that the young boy was different than what he was whenever, the week before. Instead of all the filth and the foul that comes out of men working together, here was this young boy singing the glories of God and how good it was to be saved. Long right after lunch, this young boy got caught in a piece of machinery, mangled him up, and he was soon to die. They got him out, and they could barely whisper, and he whispered to him, "Get the preacher, get the preacher." They ran down the mountain to the little village and found the preacher and hurried the preacher back up to the sawmill camp. And there was that little boy, young man, ready to leave this world. The preacher bent down and he said, "Son, what do you need to say?" And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm glad for yesterday, for it makes today so much better." He said, "I'm glad that yesterday was the day of salvation for me." And just a little while, that young man went out into eternity. Say, "Oh, that's just one of them stories that people tell to remind us and scare us." No, it's just a reminder of reality. That we never know that moment. And the Bible says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Life comes and you may be in the middle of life thinking, "Man, I've got it all lined out." But death shows up unexpectedly. How many people, even in this year of popular affluence in our world, have gone out into eternity suddenly because of drugs or alcohol or just because of death, and the world mourns for them? There's none above it. Our life comes and our life goes. Then he talked about the frailty of man. The Bible says this: "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." He said, "What is man? He's here and then he's gone. He vanishes away." The frailty. There's no one that lives forever here on earth. There is none that lives forever here on earth. I remember some years ago, Jesse Kitchen called me and had a friend and asked me, or a relative, I can't remember. But anyway, just right across from the Cater funeral home, me and her and maybe five other, if I remember right, stood and buried a lady that was in her 90s. Right across the road here is a little baby that's a month old. And we've seen them all in between. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. I say there's no guarantee of life tomorrow. That's why God says today is the day of salvation. That's why God says today's the day you must be born again. To die without God and spend eternity in hell will be the most horrible thing to ever do. So he talks to us about man living without God, without regard for God. Sadly, as many Christians live their life without this. Truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, many times we put this little phrase along with things that we say, that we do. "Well, I need to pray about it." But very little of us pray enough until we get an answer from God about what we're supposed to do. Very few of us really seek God. You know, ever since I've stumbled onto this verse and the conviction of God came onto my heart almost daily, and if I don't daily, I confess a sin of presumption, because this is what this is, a presumptuous spirit that says I can do life without God. But I'd say more days than not, I'd say more days of the year, I pray this way: "Lord, if the Lord will, and I make it through the day, these are my plans, subject to what you want me to do. And should the will of God be different than my plans, then give me grace to know what you want me to do." Because I don't want to stand before God having made all decisions and all plans for my life without regard to Him. Whether I preach or whether I serve through the day or through the week or whatever the case may be, I want all things to be done for His glory. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we have this man, this haughty man that says, listen, I'm going to do what I want, and that quick, decisions are made without God. The haughty spirit. But then we have the humble man. The humble man is the man that found in verse 15, for that you ought to say. He obeys the Bible. This is what he ought to say. God tells you how you ought to say it. Amen. This is what you ought to be saying. Instead of saying, I'm going to go, I read one commentary, I think it might have been Lehman Strauss that said this. He said he thinks James was maybe writing to businessmen here. I don't know if he was or not. It applies surely to business people, amen. But I believe it applies to all of us. Here is the humble man, and this is what you ought to say. Here's how you ought to pray tonight before you go to bed. Lord, thank you for the day. Now my plans are to get up tomorrow and go to work, do this, do that. If you're retired, whatever your plans are. And Lord, if this is your will, this is what you have for me to do. You ought to obey the Bible. I say you ought to obey the Bible and pray this way. Everybody in here ought to be praying this way every day. He puts God's will above his own will, if the Lord will. Lord, I want what you want for me. I want to do what you want me to do. Now, I believe God knows we have to work to supply the needs of our family. I don't think God's condemning going to work here. Don't call your boss and say, you know what I was praying about, and I really don't think it's the Lord's will for me to work today. Your boss may say this, I believe it's God's will for you to work somewhere else, amen. We understand. God said, man don't work, it's man ought not to eat. We're talking about that. But he's saying here, in these plans, we've got to make plans, but we need the wisdom of God. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to be doing this, God? Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen, and be not conformed to this world. Now there's a reason why he puts that along with this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't you go running around like this world does. See, the world puts the love of money before the love of God. The love of their own self above the love of God. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. And the Bible says the man that pursues that adds to himself a lot of hurts and troubles. The humble man takes this approach. I want God's will above all wills, above my will. Now we understand there are things that we need to do. I don't believe God's against that stuff. But I think God wants us to early recognize His sovereignty in our life. What if you're on your way to work and you never make it to work? We call this the providential hand of God in our life. The humble man obeys the Bible. He puts God's will above his will, and he puts his future in God's future. God, whatever your will is, I'm going to do this and that if you're willing. You say, well, preacher, how do you know if God's willing? If you go here, you go there. Well, you pray about it until you find out what the will of God is. Remember I mentioned Naomi. The Bible says in the book of Ruth, you can read it there, Naomi gives this testimony. There was a famine in the land of Israel, and her husband, Elkanah, I think his name, his name wasn't Elkanah, whatever his name was, they left and they decided with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they decided to go to Moab. They went over to Moab and they left with all their goods. But when she came back, her husband was dead, her two sons were dead, one daughter-in-law returned to the Moabites, and Ruth is the one who came back with her. And this was her testimony. I went out full, but God brought me back empty. My condition is God's fault. No, let me straighten this out real quick. It wasn't God's fault, it was her pride. She didn't consider the will of God. So he puts his future into God's future. Now look at verse 17. Therefore. Well, verse 15 says this, but now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Not only do you make these plans, but you rejoice in them. Man, look at me, look at this money I'm making, look at this life I'm living. God said, that's an abomination. It's wickedness. Now verse 17 says, therefore, to him, to you, to me, to us that know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To the person who knows it's right to seek God in the decisions of his life and doesn't do it, it's sin. The whole thing. So let's say that throughout the day, I get up this morning, or last night before I go to bed, or get up this morning, and I never consider God's purpose, plan, will, direction for my life today. I just get up, go on about my day, maybe read my Bible, do my Sunday school class, come here and preach, come back, go home and eat, took a little nap, came back to church, had prayer meeting, done a little bit of studying, got here, going to preach, going to baptize, going to go home, and I'm going to say, boy, serve the Lord today. Can I tell you, if I did it in that manner, that is not serving the Lord. You say, well, why not? Because I never considered God in my life. I just did what I knew to do. Now, this morning when I got up and got dressed, I came down here, and long before I did much of anything, after I turned the baptistry on, I knelt here and I said, now, Lord, these are my plans. If the Lord will, when I live, this is what I'm planning to do. Now, if your will is much different than mine, please give me grace to accept what your will is. Now, do I believe it was God's will for me to be here and do my Sunday school class and preach and all of the stuff that I mentioned? Oh, I surely believe it is. But I have today. And today I need to acknowledge God's sovereignty and God's leadership and the lordship of Christ in my life. Now, if I know to do that and I don't do that tomorrow, guess what? All tomorrow, if I don't start my day by acknowledging what God's will is for my life that day, and I end up in the day, then here's the verse. They that are in the flesh cannot please Him. They that are in the flesh cannot please Him. You say, well, preacher, I just believe that since I'm a child of God that, you know, everything God knows about me. Well, just read the Bible here. Now you can't change the Bible, amen? You can't change any of those. The Bible tells us there, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. On and on we could go in the Scriptures. So the Bible makes clear. Now him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Making plans for life? Have you considered what God's will is for your life? I heard a story of a young man, not a young man, but a man, who was married with a nice Christian wife. He was a good man in the church. And somehow, if I remember the story correctly, he had began to work in a company and began to be successful in the company. And he had gotten associates and this, that, and the other, and he got close to another woman. He goes to the pastor and he says, Pastor, there's nothing immoral that's been happening as far as physically is concerned, but we are attached one to another. I don't know what to do. He said, I love my wife, I love my family. He said, and in business, I'm attached to this lady. And the pastor says, oh. And he said, break it off. He said, quit your job or fire her. He said, that's too painful. And the pastor quoted these verses. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it's more profitable for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to go into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it's profitable thee to go through life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. You see, ladies and gentlemen, breaking off sin is a painful thing to do. If it wasn't, everybody'd be doing it. It's a painful thing. I was talking to someone in my office, and I have a Brother Ray brought me back years ago. He went over to Kenya, somewhere, I think it might have been Kenya, and he brought me back an authentic machete made in Japan, or China one, but it was authentic. And sold in Kenya as an authentic Kenyan, but it clearly says made in Japan or China, one of those. And I've got it right there in my office. And I just leave it out there, right? If you open my door, look right by my bookcase, there it is. Somebody said, well, aren't you afraid kids ought not to get it? Well, no, they ought not to get it. Amen? It's my office. I can have it in there what I want. So anyway, I was talking to this young person about sin and how, and I said, now, here's what we need to do. You need to lay your arm up on that desk and I just need to cut it off. And I said, it won't hurt a bit. They're kind of looking at me with that look like, you tricking me or what? I said, no, it's going to hurt. Or if I take a spoon and dig your eye out, I think without anesthesia, it's probably going to hurt either way. Sin is a horrible thing. The Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. If you know that it's right to do something and you don't do it, it's sin. So if you know that it's right to acknowledge God early in the morning in your life, throughout the day of your life, then your day becomes sin because you're operating in the flesh. Now, folks, tonight, we live in a world that is obsessed with everything other than knowing what God wants us to do. I wonder tonight how many marriages are made without consideration of the will of God. Two people like each other, maybe all in love with each other, but they really never seek, is this really God's will? Oh, they like each other. Well, I did pray about it. Sometimes I think we use that as just a term to ease our conscience so we can do whatever we want to do. But have we really prayed about this person? And if we have, do they... And by the way, the Holy Spirit's never going to lead us contrary to God's word. In finances, how many people have made bad financial decisions because what? We did the very thing the Scripture said not to do. We're going to invest a little bit, do a little bit, get gain, and go on our way. And some have made good gain. The parable, and it's interesting, that's a parable, not a real story. The parable of the rich man, that guy was pretty successful, I'd say. If he made out of one crop enough to live the rest of his life, I'd say that's pretty successful. Amen? He had the right amount of rain, the right amount of sun, the right amount of everything. He did all of that. Or did he? No, he didn't do all of that. He put it in the ground and like the rest of us, hoped that something happened. And it was God that gave the increase. But he claimed all the credit for it. I remember hearing years ago a story about a man who heard the preacher talk about honoring the Sabbath day and honoring the Lord's day. Maybe put it that way. So in the newspaper, the farmer wrote, to the preacher who said God doesn't bless what you do on Sunday, he said, I plowed on Sunday, I planted on Sunday, I fertilized on Sunday, I cultivated on Sunday, I harvested on Sunday, and I had the greatest crop I've ever had. The next week in the same editorial, the preacher put this, God doesn't always pay on Sunday. See, there's a judgment coming. And whatever I've lived in the flesh is going to burn up. According to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. The wood, hay, and stubble. Whatever I've done in my energy and for myself. So in the morning, our challenge and our command from the Scripture, start your day acknowledging His will. You say, well, what do I know? What is God's will for my life? Well, first of all, we know it's God's will that all men be saved. So tonight, if you're not saved, it's God's will for you to be saved. For you to be born again. You don't even have to pray about that. That's God's will for your life. That is God's will today for your life. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. All should come to repentance, He says. That's God's will. God's will is sanctification. God's will is we be thankful. Those are things we know God wants us to do. You say, well, preacher, I've got plans to whatever tomorrow. Well, have you considered God? Have you considered God? And if not, before you do those plans, you should repent and place yourself in the hand of God. Lord, tomorrow, if the Lord will, I'm planning to go to work. I'm planning to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm planning to get off work and go home and whatever, 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 if the Lord will. But should God's will be different, then please give me grace. What if you walk in tomorrow and the boss says, you know what, I've got some good news and bad news. The good news is you get a very extended vacation. The bad news, it's without money. Oh, preacher, that'd be horrible. Well, if you've prayed about God's will, you'd have to look at it and say, this must be the will of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I can tell that didn't go over. Better just move on, amen? God's will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Now, Lord, we know what your will is in some cases. Lord, there may be some decisions people need to make in their life, and they're wondering what is the will of God. Lord, I may not know, but I know you know. Lord, I know it's your will that men be saved because that's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. I know it's your will that all of us live godly in Christ Jesus. I know it's your will, God, that we pray. And I know it's your will, God, that we draw close to you. I know these things. But God, come decisions about tomorrow, God, we may not know just what the will of God is in everything. But Lord, you did say we could pray. You did say, God, we could ask, and we ought to submit ourselves, and that you ought to say, if the Lord will, and we shall live. We'll do this and that. So Lord, if the Lord will, help us as we face tomorrow, if we even make it that far, that God will be ready for what your will is for our life. Some are going to get up and go to work, and some are going to go about doing other things. But the most important thing is to determine, what does God want me to do today? And I know this, that if people are saved, the Holy Spirit will instantly tell them something they need to do. And I know this, that instantly the old flesh and the devil will give them a reason not to do it, that it wasn't the will of God. So Lord, we pray today for great wisdom and understanding in your direction, directing our lives. And Father, help us not to play the fool and live days without you that can't please you. In Christ we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed.